The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 21st day of May, 2024. And tonight we have, of course, he's back with style, and as a producer tonight, pushing the buttons, turning the knobs, man, he's doing it. He's on the job. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And you got the way out yonder. Well, first, right here in the studio, live, I got Aaron. Say hello, Aaron.
Hello, Pastor.
He is my trainee. He's doing better. Pretty soon, he'll start having memory loss, and we'll know he's made it. All right. Way out yonder, there he is. He's the legendary Parson Joe Larson.
You mean when he has memory loss, he catches up to us?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, good luck, Aaron. It's got a long way
it's
to go.
It's a goal to set.
Yeah.
Your goal is set, yeah. Glad to be here, and I'll tell you what, I got a couple of big breaking stories for a little later.
Well, we got a list. We're going to get after them all. We got a lot of stuff. I got some good stuff too. And as we are the watchman on the wall, let's go. Title of the message was,
"The law is not made for the righteous, but for the lawless."
Absolutely. Now today we see the lawless, Antifa, burn, loot, murder, George Soros, lawfare whores. We saw what's happening again in that court today. With that Juan Marchand not allowing testimony, only allowing the juries to hear testimony that would give them the impression that Trump committed some crimes. This guy is as crooked as
or
crooked
things
gets.
That hurt Trump, like, you know, what's her name? I hate to even mention her name. She gets enough publicity, you know, Stormy. All that was just salaciousness to may be embarrassing to Trump, to cause problems with his wife, you know, Melania, things like that. But it had no bearing, no relevance on the case, and she got to talk her little head off.
Yeah, she did. She
for nothing other
and here,
than to hurt Trump.
And here you've got a guy that admitted he stole $60,000, admit he has lied, he perjured himself under oath, and they don't move
30,
to prosecute
000.
Him.
No.
No,
they,
it's more. It's actually 60? Yeah. And so they don't move to perjure to prosecute him. But now, here he has come, and Bob Costello, his lawyer, well, you know, he had come. He tried to give testimony, telling him, look, this guy
he's
told
got
me.
A great yeah. reputation. I mean, well, he's the well known for his integrity and ability as a lawyer.
And Merchant threw a fit, and it's on film, and they want to use this to get rid of him, to pull him down, because He threw a titsy fit in the courtroom and accused Costello of trying to have a stare down with him. But anyhow, we'll talk about all that later. Well, let's get into the more important stuff, which is the Word of God. And so again, like I was saying here, Merrick Garland and all of these, you know, these are Merrick Garland, I've seen him, every time I've seen him being called in by Congress, I've seen him perjure himself. I've seen Chris Ray perjure himself time and time again, but no one can perjure themselves like Mariakas. I mean, this guy is just an unbelievable liar. Okay, and so, and just a week ago, Hillary Clinton, she was very slick and very, but Jim Jordan really turned her every which way but loose. So up to now, they've gotten away with their lying, stealing, murder, extortion, perjuries, etc. But that may be about to change. They've gotten carried away with the notion that they are the law and that there is none that can prosecute them. But that, I think, may be about to change in the very near future, maybe starting this week. But anyhow, we're in Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And so, as we go through this, we pick it up, and let's read. Let's take it to, read me, Joe, read verses 1 through 5.
All right. Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face.
All righty, so here now we read, starting at verse 1 again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, here, people get this idea that God is sitting on his throne and his angels are standing there beneath him, but that's not quite the case. You know, you have, Satan is not allowed in the third heaven, okay? And so, here, do you know how I can get on my smart aleck phone and I can communicate with my brother in Mexico and we can see each other and talk? You've got the video communications. Well, if I can do that, just think of what God can do with his technology, right?
Yeah.
And so, here...
Anything he wants.
Absolutely. So
he can be in two places at once. He can be in heaven and all over the universe.
So
anywhere he wants to be.
So who is being tested here? Okay. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. So now, who is being judged? You're going to be tested here. There's going to be a test taken. And who is going to be tested?
Well, it isn't Satan.
Yeah, it is. Satan and Job, they're both
Satan
being tested.
Satan and Job are going to be tested.
Right. And so, here, now remember, this is taking place in front of all the angels. The host of angels came to present themselves. And so, this is taking place. Remember, there's this battle between Satan and God. Satan tried to, remember, back before this, way back
when... There was war in heaven, right?
The war in heaven... And Revelation 12, and Satan and one-third of his angels was cast out with him. He had rebelled against God. He was cast down to the earth. Okay, he ended up going to finding a nice garden to occupy. and caused a lot of trouble there. But here, now, this has taken place. Satan is still, has in mind to dethrone God. But God's got quite an advantage over Satan. Do you think God was completely and totally aware of all of this happening, of Satan coming and presenting himself before Satan came to present himself?
Sure. God knew every, he knows every, if he knows every thought we have, Satan, Lucifer, had been one of his creations. He created Lucifer, and he would know everything about his creation, every thought that Lucifer had.
Okay, now, how do we know, where do we find that in Scripture where we know that God perceives what they're going to say?
He's the Alpha and the Omega.
Right, but when, in Scripture, when the Pharisees came to test Jesus to try to put him in a position where he could not give a right answer, he knew ahead of time, he knew exactly what they were going to say and do. He, and here, in this situation, God is fully aware.
The story, he knew the beginning of the story from the very end.
Right. So here, he knows exactly how Job is going to react to the testing, okay? And this is some really rough testing here.
Yeah.
And so now, so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now, here, is Satan answering the way he knew that his children would answer, that he would answer?
Sure.
Okay, to us, betrayal is repulsive. You know, to the left, to Satan and his children, to those out there on the left, betrayal is something that's, in fact, that it's coveted. Betrayal is something, if you
can, they esteem wickedness.
Within the collective, if you can betray someone who has a lot of power and authority, if you can betray them, especially the closer they are to you, remember what Karl Marx said? He said, to lay your head on the breast of a friend and or someone who pretends to be your, who you have, who thinks that you're his friend, to lay your head on his breast and to put a knife in his back, there's nothing sweeter than that. Okay, you can sleep good.
This was Marx said that?
No, yep. Not Marx. No, I mean, Joseph Stalin.
Stalin.
I okay. said Marx. I meant Joseph Stalin.
Stalin. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a question, Pastor. So how, if Satan's already condemned since the rebellion in heaven, how is he being tested? He's not going to repent.
No, he's being, no, because you see, If God asks Satan, where have you been, God knows where Satan's been. Now, this is being played out right in front of all the other angels, right? And Satan says, well, you know, I've been going here and going there, or, you know, I've been over to Sally's house. If he hadn't been there, God would say, no, you haven't. No, and therefore, since you lied again to me here, he would probably put a further restriction upon him. You see, so, see, God can restrict Satan's, his moves. Satan can only do what God allows him to do, and Satan's
right.
still in rebellion. So here, he says, but put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now we know where Job's wife got what she said to Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Don't kill him. Now, so Satan is asking permission to test Job to prove that men are not worthy, okay, and that Job, that he should have Job's soul. That, and so,
but we know, even from our own experiences, you and I, well, personally, and we know some others who have been injured terribly, very badly. Suffered a lot of surgeries, a lot of pain, and have maintained their faith. And it was their faith that saw them through the trials and tribulations. So we are automatically know that just because somebody is going through some horrible times doesn't mean they're going to stop and curse God.
Right, absolutely.
I can testify that from personal experience.
So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. That had to be very, very, very painful.
Yes.
And he took him a postured to scrape himself withal. That postured is broken pottery.
Pottery, right.
And he sat down among the ashes. Okay, now that's that way you're showing, that's a way of repenting. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now, do you think that she was thinking more about herself than him? I mean, it was paining her to see Job suffer this way?
I think it was more, she was more concerned with her own, this is now my husband, my life. I think she was feeling sorry for herself. I don't think she was really a true wife, because instead of coming and helping and tending to the boils and trying to aid her husband, she says, curse God and die. That doesn't sound like a good wife, no.
Well, here now, she was Mrs. Job. She was first lady of the whole East, okay? Remember, Job and Abraham were contemporaries at that time. They were the two wealthiest men. Now, here, she's Mrs. Job. She's again, the first lady of all of this. Now, all of a sudden, her husband is brought down. He's in ashes, and all the friends are looking. And so they're all thinking to themselves, Job has sinned a sin, and this is why he's being tested. Now, Job says to her, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Now, let me ask you this question here. If someone is tormenting you, okay, do you think by cursing them that that's going to keep them from tormenting you, or do you think that might increase the pain?
Increase the pain.
So just her answer, there was a foolish answer, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. A foolish question.
It's just so, causing Job more pain, more, problems.
Yeah. So then Job says, what shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Here, so Satan, again, thought that Job would betray God, like he did himself. Today we call that being thrown under the bus, right? So the deep state today, remember what they did? They threatened General Flynn. They threatened him with his son. We're going to indict your son. We're going to put your son in prison unless you do what we tell you, unless you say what we tell you, unless you plead guilty. This here Cohen has admitted that when he couldn't find anything on Trump, he made up things when he had nothing because they threatened him, the Injustice Department, the completely corrupt DOJ under Merrick Garland, threatened to indict Cohen's wife and send her to prison. So if they can't get you to turn, they go after your family, don't they?
Right. Look, they've gone after Giuliani. They've gone after... what's his name? Peter Navarro is already in prison because he wouldn't bow to them. I mean, they are as evil and wicked as they come. If you don't go against Donald Trump, we're going to come after and destroy you. Your reputation, we're going to come after you financially. We can throw you in jail. And we're going to intimidate everybody out there who might speak up and stand for Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah, Merrick Garland.
Corruption to this is like it happens in the Soviet Union and banana republics. This is not the kind of thing that has ever happened before in the United States of America by its government. They've done some really bad things, but never like this.
Well,
best thing always to do is stand your ground and tell those perverts to go fly a kite.
You had what's his name? Our so-called Secretary of State. I'm having a senior
Blinken.
Moment. Blinken. He is the one that convinced those 51 former U.S. intelligence agency to lie under oath, to flat-out lie, cite a statement saying that that this whole thing, operation, the thing with
disinformation, and Trump was behind it all.
Yeah, and they all lied.
You're talking about Crossfire Hurricane?
Yeah, they lied, they lied, they lied. And so you had Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, Jim Comey, Andrew McCabe, Lisa Page, John Brennan, on and on.
Yeah.
They all lied, okay? But our so-called Secretary of State was the one that told them to do that. And so now all of them would turn over. Now, remember, they got no integrity. They would turn over on each other to save their own skins. This is like what Satan is saying, to save your own skin here, about Job. Now here, they wouldn't even, I think, even turn over on Hillary, knowing that people that threatened to do that ended up at room temperature, so many, about 100 of them now.
Arkansides.
Yeah.
You know, the headless person that beheaded himself committed suicide, right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'll never believe that one, were you?
Well, no, yeah, I won't believe that the Vince Foster could.
What happened at that airport recently there in Arkansas?
Recently, I don't know. I don't know
someone
about this. Something, but
I'll find that article.
You had the Arkansas. I was there. I went down there, and boy, I'm going to tell you. I mean, you know, it's very clear to everybody down there about the Dixie Mob. They used 14. Different Dixie mobsters to try to run me out of that state. And in fact, the last night I was there, they were outside my room. They were driving pickup trucks up like they were coming through my window. They had ball bats and shotguns. And they kept that stuff up all night long trying to run me out of Arkansas. So that was in Conway. I had gone down there. We went down to Mena, and we were in Conway when they did that.
You and Larry Nichols.
Yeah.
The listeners that don't remember, Larry, you were down to see Larry Nichols.
Yep. And Mike Griffith and Dale Butler were with me. And I went and I saw Jim Jordan, or Jim Johnson, the former Supreme Court judge. And we saw, well, I went and we talked to the sheriffs. We went over there with and spoke to Gary Parks and Jerry Johnson, okay, executive director of Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport in Arkansas, shot in the head by federal agents after allegedly opened fire. And when did this just happen?
Should have the date.
April 8th, okay. A University of Arkansas police officer over the weekend cut down a... No, that's a different story. Brian?
You got to click it.
Okay. Let me just hit it here. The executive director of Bill and Hillary Clinton's National Airport was shot in the head by federal agents on Tuesday. He knew something he wasn't supposed to know. That's exactly how that works down there. Following a fire plot. Okay, there you go. The FBI works for Hillary. They wouldn't do anything without her permission. Jeez. All wins. Maine and Arkansas called for Trump, and I see. Looks like Kentucky's going for Trump, too. Okay. There you go. All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America. We
to hell here on earth in some city schoolyards. When bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take
We must take America back. You know, the last 2 days, yesterday and today, Trump was back president. The legitimate president of this United States, the actual real president, was back in that courtroom of that corrupt judge. I mean, he is corrupt and crooked. His own daughter made $93 million off of this trial. I mean, this guy is so blatant. He's got a number of the, well, he's even got the Supreme Court there in New York. He's got a number of the appeals court judges, the federal, very, very worried now. They don't know what to do because he's destroying. I mean, the reputations were good before, but now, you know, they're talking about this guy is, you know, we'll have no legitimacy left, no respect left. If this guy is allowed to continue this way. And so, anyhow, today Trump came out and blasted him because he put a gag order. But Trump just said, again, he told him, he said, I've been, this here is being done. Well, I mean, Trump called out Judge Merchant again for calling him into court early. Trump had previously scheduled the event, supporters. And that was yesterday morning, but he called in early by the crooked, and he calls him the crooked judge. Now, I believe that in the picture, when you see Judge with Trump speaking, that is Juan Merchan standing behind him, listening to what he says, okay? And so he is the biggest crook in that case, in that courtroom, is the judge. That is pretty obvious, isn't it?
It's been very obvious, and it continue, but going right along, you noticed right after he got out of court today, he got some very interesting news. And the news was that the Biden administration, when they set things up for the Mar-a-Lago raid, authorized it through the Justice Department.
Oh, yeah.
The FBI was authorized to use deadly force when necessary. Folks, deadly force when necessary. And it's known that the FBI had a medic on scene and had identified a local trauma center for anyone injured during the raid. This is according to Julie Kelly, investigative reporter who's been following this story. And she said, went into Mar-a-Lago like they were going on a Bin Laden raid. And, these guys were armed, and they were preparing to confront Trump and even engage, get this, Secret Service if necessary. So here we had the FBI was given authorization to go in, and if they had to shoot Secret Service personnel, they were given the authorization to do so. I think this is grounds to impeach Biden. I think this man has no business being in the executive office of this government, and I think they need to disband the Justice Department, the FBI, and Biden needs to be impeached over this. This is just...
Biden needs to be tried for treason. He needs to be tried for treason,
yeah,
along with Obama. Because
all through history, this has gone on. In virtually every other case, there's been disputes over presidential papers. Negotiations were underway. Trump's lawyers were working with the National Archives, and they'd given them some information. They were told, well, we don't like the way it's stored. You got Secret Service guarding the place. So they put a big lock on the door and a special lock, and it was in a room and files. And, I mean, they were complying with everything that the National Archives wanted until they started working with the Biden administration, Department of Justice. So this was a planned raid. And if you think about it, they went in there. There could have been family members. There could have been guests there. And these people were given that, deadly force if necessary, had a hospital standing by, a medic on site. I mean, folks, this is about as unreal, un-American as anything I could imagine. And that included going, I want to repeat that, and even if the Secret Service got in the way, these FBI were authorized to use deadly force against our own Secret Service. I mean, it's unbelievable, Pastor.
Well, those were the Dirty 30. Remember, those were the same ones used on January 6th and the same one used for that fake kidnapping of Whitmer.
Gretchen Whitmer, Whitmer.
Set that up. They're called the Dirty 30.
But still, shooting... authorization to use force against the Secret Service. I don't think that has ever happened that I've heard in history of the United States.
Well, first of all, let's take a look at this. Joe Biden, since he was a senator, had kept secret documents that were classified. He had he kept them in a garage. He kept them... in a basement. He kept them where people...
They were just in loose cardboard boxes. We saw the picture of the boxes sitting there. They weren't in cabinets. They weren't contained neatly. They were just stuffed in boxes. And he had them in, seven or eight different places that they found?
And he was not authorized to do that. He was not authorized. That was okay. Now...
His being president.
Right. Now, President Trump... is the president. He was authorized. He could declassify anything at any time. It was up at his will, at his pleasure. He could declassify.
And then he was set up because this is a bunch of boxes that he didn't take with him, but they called and said, hey, we've got all this boxed up, a lot of your stuff boxed up and ready for you. And his people went and got the boxes, and they didn't know what was in it, but it wasn't anything that Trump even authorized. It was Biden's staff who were in charge of setting it up. So Trump's people went and picked the stuff up, took it to Mar-a-Lago, and I don't think Trump had ever had time. He was too darn busy. He had the time to go through and see what was all there. This was a setup.
Absolutely, absolutely. The corruption is just unbelievable.
And these people should be in jail, all of them, for setting up a president of the United States to file phony charges. I mean, this is one of the biggest crimes in America. But you notice how the mainstream media, even Fox News, are they talking about these people should be in prison? What they did was setting up a president to force him, you know, say, here's a crime he committed that he didn't commit. I mean,
no, they keep telling you, like Jonathan Turley keeps saying, how absolutely corrupt this is, how you know, these are absolute crimes that this Judge Merchan is committing. They keep saying that, but you're right. They don't say they should be in prison for doing this.
Right. Nobody does anything about it. Nobody's trying to
First of all, we got to get Trump back in, and if we get him back in, he can use the military because we can't. He couldn't use the FBI. Okay.
No.
Then he would have to go down three or four levels from the top down, clean them out, fire them all, and rebuild it. You know, appoint his own people. And so in the Justice Department, he would have to just about get rid of all those lawyers, about 1,800 of them. He'd have to fire and replace them.
Wow. So, you're going to have to do that slowly. You've got to start at the top and work your way down.
Yep.
But just in my wildest dreams, I would never have thought when that raid took place that they were authorized to use deadly force to get what? Paperwork, documents, and especially phony planted ones. I mean, just totally unbelievable.
Joe, they're a bunch of sociopathic opportunists. They exploit every opportunity to cause as much potential chaos as possible.
Yep. Yep.
Well, on top, you know, you were just talking the deceit and everything. The other big story is everybody knows about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, right? And Biden...
We don't have it. We don't have one.
Well, it's been
drained. Isn't it releasing a million more?
Huh?
Way back.
Yeah.
Way back in 2014, after Hurricane Sandy had damaged refineries and left terminals underwater, they authorized a gasoline reserve. I don't know, a lot of people remember this. The Northeast Gasoline Supply Reserve was about 42 million gallons of gasoline. And for emergencies that happened like Hurricane Sandy. Now, it's been sitting there. So the Biden administration is now putting about 1 million barrels of that gasoline on the market. Now, here's the
key. Is any going to China or Iran? Second.
After being ordered to liquidate the reserve by Congress. Now, the story gets thicker. What happened is the gasoline prices are way up, and everybody said that the costs are going to climb during the busy summer travel season. Well, guess what happens in November? There's an election, right? So Biden is releasing this gasoline because he claims it'll lower the gasoline prices, which experts say 1 million barrels is unlikely to make a difference because there in the East Coast, they burned through about 3 million barrels of gasoline a day last June. So they burned 3 million barrels a day. He's going to release this 1 million barrels and try and make it look like he's doing something to lower prices. But here's the big key. Congress ordered the sale, is what they're saying. Now, this happened in one of those big bills, those big funding bills.
Mm-hmm.
So they said they authorized this and became law in March. Well, what did they have? That big omnibus bill. So somewhere in that big omnibus spending bill to keep the government from shutting down was Congress'
position from day one.
We, the country, the people, because of their ignorance, their apathy, they've let this get by. They've had some politicians that go up and bring home the bacon, so to speak, bring home the little benefits, and they do things to get reelected.
Oh, by the way, speaking of bringing home the bacon, do you know that the price of bacon have gone up four times since Biden has been in office?
Yeah, and I've got a whole bunch of stuff on that for a little later on.
Silver went over 32 today.
Yeah, I know. And, all righty, there you go.
Oh, one more. Can I do one more?
Sure, go ahead.
In all this money, we built a big floating pier there in Gaza, right?
Yeah. I know all about that floating pier.
$320 million floating pier built by a military. Well, they brought in all this humanitarian aid, and guess what? 70% of the aid from the U.S. built pier was stolen
by Hamas.
Surprised? 11 trucks were cleaned out by the Palestinians on the journey to the World Food Program warehouse in some town in the strip there. Only 5 trucks made it to the designation. And no, according to the UN, no aid was delivered to the warehouse from the U.S. military pier on Sunday or Monday. 10 truckloads of food disappeared. We need to make, listen, the UN said, we need to make sure the necessary security and logistical arrangements are in place before we proceed any further.
Yeah, what a joke.
This is a big surprise that this would get ripped off by Hamas.
Remember when they started talking about sending arms, all these arms and ammunition to Ukraine? And we said on the very first day, we said, look, it's going to get right to the black market. It's going to go to Ukraine. And very little of that is actually going to go to the military. It's going to be on that very first day, it's going to go on the black market. All the arms dealers are going to be there and the politicians. And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
And so we told
enough to make a show and some of the bigger stuff that they couldn't hide and whatever. Yeah.
Zelensky's asking for American missiles.
Zelensky's asking to get Joe Biden to give him permission to fire missiles inside of Russia to start taking out Russian. This is what Zelensky. Now, Biden, he'll probably ask Kamala Harris because he gets his advice from her and AOC. But here.
Yeah.
Here, you know, Kamala Harris was speaking to the Asian Pacific American Institute, and she dropped the F-bomb. Kamala says...
these are classy people.
She said, kick the F-bomb door in, and she was laughing, and they... it's no secret how she got to where she was, how she went up the ladder, how she rose up in politics, and she slept her way.
Oh, we're not going to go there. I got one more thing on this. According to Israeli estimates, Hamas has been stealing in excess of 60% of all the aid brought into the Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
A Channel 12 report last week, the terror organization has made at least $500 million in profit off of the humanitarian aid since the start of the war, October 7th. Hamas takes the stuff, uses it for the troops, and then sells the rest of the stolen aid that's supposed to go to the people. And we have all these idiots running around on these college campuses, storming, you know, from the river to the sea. Palestine must be free. These people are starving their own people. They're selling the food that they stole that was going to go to feed the people, the food, medicine, and whatnot. And, again, where's the news, folks? You know, this is coming from the JNS there, the Jerusalem News Organ, in Israel. And yet over in this country, do you hear anything about this stuff? No, it's cricket. It's quiet. They don't want you to know what's going on. And the Biden administration is making sure that the press doesn't put this stuff out, that the national media doesn't explain how, you know, what Hamas is doing, letting their own people starve, selling the stolen food. This stuff.
I don't know what you're worried about, Joe. Look,
I'm not worried.
Joe Biden,
angry.
Obama said he's going to take care of this. He wants to bring over one. He wants to bring in 1 million Hamas. Palestinian, which means Hamas.
Hamas terrorists
in here, right? Unvetted. He wants to bring them here, and he's got the full cooperation of NBC, ABC, CBS. They'll cover whatever thing he wants to do, as long as it's in destroying America. Anyhow.
They say he's going to bring women and children. Have you seen the children's training camps where they actually had fathers taking their children and having them shoot political prisoners when, as children? They were teaching them to hate Jews, shoot guns, kill people. And we're going to bring those children here with parents that were allowing them to go to these Hamas training schools. And they're going to grow up with your children and grandchildren? Right. This
wrong. They tell you, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS has been telling you, if you pay attention, that bringing in a lot of these illegals is good for the economy. It makes the country richer, wealthier, okay? There's a good article, The Gateway Pundit. I'll prove it to you, see here. Now, there is a joke about immigration. If illegal aliens grow the economy, then the countries they left must be rich. The reality is, however, that rather than making the country richer, illegal immigrants cost the country money. No kidding. The amount of money the government spends on illegal aliens each year is the equivalent of $500 per American man, woman, and child.
Child, right.
And retiree. And
so every day, a family of four, that's $2,000 per family contributed to taking care of people who break the law, came here to...
Every day, approximately 5,000 illegal aliens enter the United States. The media claims that immigration is growing the U.S. economy. Yeah, we can see using this argument to justify opening borders and illegal immigrations. However, there are several intentional misleadings. No kidding. Points here. First, the economic growth attributed to immigration includes the wages earned and taxes paid by illegal immigrants, which is nothing to do with illegal immigration. The fact is that the legal immigrants contribute to the economy does not justify what's happening at the southern border. Yes, every additional person living in the country adds to the GDP. However, there is nothing special about illegal aliens that contributes to the growth. In fact, legal aliens are significantly better. Legal aliens are significantly better for the economy because they pay taxes and are less likely to send most of their earnings out of the country. Legal immigrants are more likely to buy a home and pay property taxes, which fund local schools. They're also more likely to start businesses and create jobs, but we know that illegal aliens do just the opposite, huh?
Yeah. Well, okay. If you look at
it's kind of hard to work if you can't speak English.
Yeah. Illegal immigration, if you look at the states where they're going, the big cities, it's causing more and more inflation. Why? Because the government is pumping hundreds of millions, billions of dollars into the illegal immigration problem through the non-governmental organizations. They're getting housing, medical care. They're getting all these benefits. And the government is having to what? Print more money to do it because we don't have the money. The fact is for every dollar that the government brought in taxes this past couple of years, they've been spending $1.29. So they're spending 29 cents more every dollar that comes in. They're spending more than we bring in, and they have to print money. And what happens? The value of the dollar goes down. Inflation goes up, and your prices for rent, food, energy, clothing, you name it, go up. And I don't have a master's degree in economics, but it's pretty simple. I mean, it's basic, you know, economics 101 you should have learned in high school.
The controlled demolition of our country by people that hate us.
Well, we're going to be coming up to a break. When we come back, after the break, we're going to take a look at Stu Peters has got a bit of a clip talking about just, you know, how Joe Biden's boss, Xi, you know, China, what they've been doing, what President Trump did. What, you know, President Trump had everything under control. He had China working with us. And now they're, you know, they're here. Everywhere you turn, they're stealing from America. They're taking, and it's because Joe Biden's working directly for the communist Chinese. He has been. We've been telling people. The whole Biden crime family is owned lock, stock, and barrel. And not just him. There's the whole, you know, Democratic Communist Party collective is on the payroll. They're literally buying, you know, buying these people that are selling our country out. And we've got to win this election. We've got to get, and it's good. Well, you know that the opposition, right now they're gearing up for more and more election fraud. They are in a, they know that if Trump gets back into office, they're going to prison. They're going to jail for treason. They all should, especially that January 6th committee. They know that. But they seem like they're confident that, again, that they've got something, another Operation Crossfire or something that that is going to work for them. Either that or you'd be seeing them jumping on planes and leaving the country, you know, right away. So we're coming up to a break. When we come back, I'll introduce that clip, and then we'll take it from there because there's a lot in it. So anyhow, that's what's happening here tonight. And we're going into that countdown. So when we come back from that, then we've got some more, a lot of other very interesting things to talk about. So be back after this. Don't go away. Much more to come tonight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.